Life is like a warranty. It always runs out at the worst time. This was a quote I heard this week as I was researching. I was like, oh, interesting. Feels so true. Life is like a warranty. It always runs out at the worst time. I typically spend time making messages on Mondays because I like to have the week to dwell on it. And I knew once I read this that this was going to be an opening I wanted for today. And so I wrote a nice little example, and then I wasn't very happy with it, to be quite honest. I was like, no, this isn't really good. And so whatever, I wrote the rest of the message, and then it was like 11:30 Monday morning, the example for this came, because this week I brought my truck in to Rose North Service Center because me and Becky are going on a little trip and we needed a pre-trip inspection done. And I was like expecting nothing really to be very wrong with the truck. It's fairly new and whatever. But I get this text at 11:30 saying, your truck has a radiator leak that you think we might need to like replace the radiator. And I'm like, oh, didn't see that coming. So I hadn't really thought too much, and then the next little text back was, I think maybe you want to check in, like, if you still have a warranty. And so I did. I called the dealership where I bought the truck, checked to see what kind of warranty there was, and sure enough, I was 2,000 KMs over the warranty. So, needless to say, the warranty didn't kick in. Warranties often run out at the worst time. Warranties can be frustrating, can't they? I don't know how many of you have had troubles with warranties in your past, but I saw this little joke. Maybe you can't read it very well, so I'll read it, but it says, this limited warranty, this piano is guaranteed to be free from any defects. This excludes the following parts: the pedals, the black keys, the white keys, all the strings inside, the wooden exterior, the lid, and the hinges on the lid. Not much of a warranty, is it? Limitations, extensions, exclusions, confusion, fine print. I feel like often when we go for warranties or go look at warranties, they make them long enough that you get bored or that you really don't want to read it, so you have no idea what you're signing to, and then you're just like, okay, must be a good warranty. They sound good up front, but at the end of the day, they don't always really help you. Not all warranties are this way, but how do we seek out the ones that are pretend from the ones that are really good? Is our love like a warranty? Are we bold print warranty Christians? Love 100%. Or are we fine print Christians? Again, you probably, maybe you can read that, but hopefully it's small enough that you can't. Because this is how warranties are. But if you could, it would say, if you do what I say, like what I like, never hurt me, give me everything I want, bring Starbucks on Tuesdays, are always happy, forgive me because I ask, overlook my faults, allow me to love you and when I want, only compliment me and love me unconditionally, even if I don't love you all the time. That's our warranty. What kind of Christian are you? A bold print warranty or the fine print Christian? For those of you who were around, I think it was maybe almost 2 months ago, I preached a message on Romans 12, 1 verses 8. And I'm actually going to just lean into the last half of Romans 12 because it's a super great passage. But just to catch those up that weren't here, I'm going to sum it up like this. That passage is about being a living sacrifice. That's what that first half of Romans 12 is. And then there's verse 2, and that's the one that we're going to need for today to go into the rest of the passage. So it says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. that's going to take us into today's passage. So if you've got Bibles, please turn with me to Romans 12, 9 to 13. If you don't, that's fine. It'll be up on the screen for you. But we want to take some time just to look at love. Romans 12, verse 9 starts like this. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. When I read that, I'm like, there's no really room for being a small print Christian. Verse 2 tells us about the transformation we need, right? Between that God wants to transform our hearts, our minds, and then we're going to find his perfect will. And that's where verse 9 picks up, because we aren't supposed to pretend to love others. We're supposed to really love them. That's hard. That is not always easy, but it's a lot easier when we've been transformed by God, when our hearts are built out of that love that God's got for people. Me and Becky, over the last few months, we've been starting to become mall walkers. I think that's what we call it. Once a week, we attempt to go to Winnipeg, and we walk in malls. The first time I did it, I thought, oh man, this is a little bit crazy. I always thought people went to shopping malls to shop. And after the second lap around the shopping mall, I realized most people are actually mall walking and there's very few people trying to shop. And so I felt way more at home. But what it makes you realize as you walk these malls, you see a lot of people. And you make a lot of, you have a lot of impressions about people. Because you're walking by them, and some of them you walk by a lot of times because you continue to walk in patterns as you're mall walking, and you see these people, and you make thoughts and impressions about them, but you have no idea who they really are. If I had just walked up to them and said I loved you, I'd be pretending to love them. Maybe I saw something, maybe I loved their sweater, maybe I loved the smile on their face, maybe I loved something about them, but I didn't really love them. Because how do we really love someone? It's not that initial impression. We start to really love people when we get to know them, right? We have to get to know what makes someone tick. We have to get to know some of their probably past, some of their present, some of their future. We need to actually be involved in people's lives deep enough that we will actually really love them. Social media in today's day and age has put a little bit of a gray area on this, I feel. Maybe it's not really as gray, but I want to be careful because social media has some really good things about it. I'm on social media at times, and I think it has some really good things, but at moments, I see the little like button, the little dislike button, maybe the little emoji icons, or maybe the comments, and a lot of people share. A lot of people click the like, click the dislike, and those can all be all great things, but do we really know the real love of the people behind there? Do we know that they care about us? Do we know? What do we know? You know when you get 400 likes because you have 800 friends. I want to encourage you, real love. Spend time with people. Get to know them. Nothing wrong with social media, but at the same time, don't base your love out of a few clicks. Base it out of the people that come into your life, the people that are willing to be there, getting to know the ins and outs of you, the hard things, not just the joyous things, the things that are really hard. I think that's what verse 9 is trying to get at. And then we get to spend some time, because I like, Paul actually gives us a whole bunch of things about how to really love. And that's what we're going to spend time here. He starts off by, how do we really love the people we love? The people that are close to us. Maybe it's our church family, maybe it's our family, maybe it's our friends, maybe it's our kids, maybe like the people that are in our circle. And he starts out with genuine affection. Now, what's genuine affection? I think for most of us, we know the difference between when a person just walks by you and gives you a handshake, or when a person comes and greets you with love, whether it's a hug, or maybe it's, you know, like guys like to do that, you know, like grab and like talk and hug, I don't know. But genuine affection, it's action, right? It's showing real physical and emotional connection. Paul encourages us, if we really love, genuine affection. Then he goes on, real love, honor each other. Interesting enough, I actually like funerals for this particular point. It's not that I love funerals, but I do enjoy hearing, because people seem to really honor people they love at funerals. Now, I think the challenge to us is, let's do that before the person's funeral. Let's go. Let's take the people in our lives and let's praise them, let's honor them, let's show them real love while they're here. I think that would be awesome if we did that with our friends, if we did that with our family, if we did that with our church body, if we did that with the people who are in our lives. Don't just wait on that one. Then it says, work hard and be enthusiastic. Don't just talk that talk, walk the walk. Pretending to love becomes really easy when we're just talking the talk. We can say a lot of fluffy, nice words. But if we want to really love someone, that's got to be backed up by walking that walk. Not just the fluffy words, but actually the showing that I'm going to stand behind the words that I just said to you, and I'm going to show you what love is. It's really love. And then love sometimes becomes a little hard sometimes with the ones we really love. It does. And Paul encourages us, don't give up on people, have hope. It's like the 422. Those of us who live on the 422, we drive on that road. And we continue to drive on that road with the hope that someday it will be smooth. For those of you who don't know where the 422 is, just drive out of town west to the next paved road and have fun. But that's how relationships are at times, right? It's not always smooth, even with the ones that we really love. There are times where we just have to hope that that day is coming where we will again enjoy that relationship as a nice and smooth path. But sometimes it's a little bumpy. Loving can hurt. Loving can hurt sometimes. But it's the only thing I know. When it gets hard, and you know it can get hard sometimes, it's the only thing that makes us feel alive. Do those words sound familiar to anyone? No one? I'm the only Ed Sheeran guy, I guess. Anyways, that's a verse from an Ed Sheeran song. Now you're like, why would you use Ed Sheeran in the message, Kevin? Because loving can hurt, and it hurts sometimes. And when that happens, especially from the people we really love, what Paul says is we pray for them. We pray. We don't necessarily go out trying to change everything all at once. We don't necessarily try all kinds of our homemade remedies for how to make them love us again. We pray for them. And we allow God to use that transformation in verse 2 to transform our hearts first, and transform, hopefully, their hearts as well. And then the final, in 13, it says, essentially, when we see the needs meet them. For the people we really love, when we see that they need something, jump in. Don't just walk around the edges hoping. Jump right in. It's not always convenient, because it's not supposed to be convenient. It's not about us. It's about the people we love. So jump in. But what about the hurt others cause? Verse 14. And Dwight, you can pop that up on the screen. It says this. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Maybe this is what causes us to pretend sometimes. To pretend to love others. We keep ourselves just far away enough that we don't feel hurt. Or at least it won't hurt us as deeply. But what's God calling us to? What's Paul encouraging us here when he says, bless those who persecute you, don't curse them, pray that God will bless them. Blessing even in pain. Whew, that's a tough place to bless people out of. It is really hard to want something better for someone who's hurt you. It is. But again, we got verse 2 popping back in our heads, where it says God's transformation is what we need. And when we're transformed by God, we will have His perfect will, and He will help us through that. He will help us to even bless those who hurt us. Paul says, don't pay it back, and it's not just about self-control. It'd be nice if it was just about self-control. But self-control just leaves it the way it is. Blessing takes it to a whole different level. And that's hard. So when you don't have the strength for that, that's okay. Because God does. It's not about our strength. We're limited, but God isn't limited. And then we got this last section I'm going to talk about, which is verses 15 to 18. How about really loving everybody in between? Not necessarily the people that are ultimately close to you, not necessarily the people who persecute you, but how about everyone else that we meet in life? Because we meet a lot of people in life. Let's read those verses. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. The challenges. Again, Paul gives us a list of things of how we can accomplish this with the people around us. He says, be happy for others. Celebrating versus deserving. It brings me back to my grade 12 year. For those of you who knew me back then, you knew that I loved playing volleyball. I still love playing volleyball, but I loved playing volleyball, and I was a setter, and our team, over the last couple of years in high school, had some pretty good success, and here grade 12 came, and I was a very rewards-orientated person, and probably still am too much, but at the point, I ended up having the opportunity to win a bunch of awards as a setter, and grade 12, I had my eye on this graduating all-star prize, because I'm like, that would be really cool, to win the graduating all-star, and so I gave it my all. I tried hard. We had a very successful year as a team. We won a lot of city tournaments, and then we landed up hosting the provincials here at Rosemont and landed up winning that. And I thought the year had gone very well. I was excited. I'm like, we had actually, I don't know if it's been done very often, but we landed up hosting the graduating All-Star game, which is something normally is set in Winnipeg, so I'm not quite sure, it's a long time ago to remember, maybe it was back then rotating, but whatever the case, we were hosting it. I'm like, oh, this is going to be super cool if I get to be a graduating All-Star. And so the graduating All-Stars were picked, and my name was not on that list. My buddy Derek, his name was on that list, very deserving, excellent volleyball player. Me and him were really good friends. I was really happy for him. But then there's this part of your heart that's very disappointed. And there comes this point, because it's in Rosenort, that I'm like, do I go to the graduating All-Star game? And there was a part of me that was instantly pricked as, yes, one of my best friends is playing in that game, and whether I think I should be there or not doesn't actually matter. I want to be happy for him, because he was able to do it. And so I went, and it was a bit of a releasing feeling, actually, in many ways, and it was cool to just be able to cheer him on at the sport that he was great at. He went on to play in the University of Winnipeg, and it was really cool to see. But it isn't always easy to be happy, and that's what we're called to do. Really loving means being happy for others. Being willing to be in their pain with them. Another way to really love people around. You see people in love, be with them. It doesn't mean you ever have to say a word. You can just walk with them. Sometimes a good cry with someone's as good as anything else. I wish I didn't have the experiences of my 30s, but in my 30s I walked a health journey, and many of you know that, so I'm not going to go deep into that, but I look back at it and I'm like, I'm thankful I had some friends that were willing to really love me and walk through that. I think of Cody and Rachel and Nick and Christy and Eric and Amber, all people that I leaned on heavily during that season outside of my own family to help me through that time. I will cherish that, and they showed me what really loving someone who was in pain was all about. Then there's live at peace with people. Why stir up trouble? Let's live at peace with people. Verse 16 also says, treat each person equal. I was thinking about this, because it's a hard one. But differences don't divide us unless we choose to let them. If you think of it, all of us sitting in this room are different. I don't think there's one of us that are the same as any of us, and yet we feel probably pretty good sitting in this room with all of you. Great people. We love to see each person each Sunday, and it's great. Let's just take that beyond the walls. Treat each person equal. Differences don't divide us unless we choose to let them. And then, don't put yourself above the rest. Or it says, I think, don't be a know-it-all. But in the terms of love, that's really not putting yourself above the rest. Everyone has stories. My father-in-law was excellent at this. He wandered roads sometimes, he wandered into prison sometimes, he wandered into pastor's offices sometimes, and he had time to listen to everyone's story. No one was different in his eyes. The guy who was hitchhiking from Winnipeg to Elm Creek, or the guy who was preaching to him on Sunday, all had the same equality in his head, and he just sat with them and spent time. And then two last things here. Really loving is letting things go. Hurt people hurt people. If we want to really love, we're going to get past our own hurts so we don't pass it on. We'll have to let things go. Again, that happens out of that transformation that God creates in us. If we try to do that on our own, I think we fail miserably more often than not. But we let God transform us, we let Him show us His will and His desires, and then we can pour that out even to those that hurt. And when we have things that are hurting us, we can let them go. Be transparent. I think if we look at that in verse, I think it's 17 here. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. It's about being transparent. Be that same person when you're in your house as you are in public. Be that same person in public that you are in your house. Just be the same person. Be honorable, be transparent. Then you'll be able to love those around you. So that brings me back to Easter. That was just last weekend, right? Feels like a long time ago. Weeks sometimes feel like that. And yet, I think it's the perfect example when we look at Jesus' life to just go back through what Paul's saying here and see how Jesus accomplished this. Because he gives us a game plan for this. We got to see Jesus love the people who were his people. I think we can all agree it was evident in his love for the disciples, for his mom, for other friends that he spent time with. We get that as we see Lazarus, right? He was genuine, sincere, honoring, met needs, and cared deeply. That's what he did with his people. And then we got to see Jesus love the people who betrayed, cursed, and hated him. This was evident in him not paying back the evil, not cursing those who betrayed, and even still healing those who came. I'm thinking of the guy who came to arrest him. He still even healed. And then he forgave because we didn't know what we were doing. So Jesus loved the people who hurt him. And then we got to see Jesus love everyone in between. He rejoiced with those he healed. He wept with those who were hurting. He lived at peace even with those who he did not agree. He treated the people around him equally, whether they were a centurion or a blind beggar. He didn't hold on to his hurts. He was the same person whether he was in a desert by himself or in a crowd of thousands. He was transparent, allowing people to see the real Jesus. He really loved, and he still really loves. So I think if we're considering a warranty, there's only one that will not let you down. That's the unconditional warranty of God's love. You're loved 100%, no fine print. God proved that through Jesus. Our task isn't to serve up a limited warranty either. No fine print. Just do what we're called to do. Love 100%. So this week, the application, if you flip it up there, are three things that I challenge for you guys. First is spend some time each day with God. If we want verse 2 to actually be true of Romans, transformation doesn't start by hoping, it starts by doing something. Simple as that. Number 2, pick one person in your life this week that you can practice showing genuine affection and sincere love to. Maybe don't start with 10. Pick one person out of your life that you can do that with this week. And then, if you need just a little more encouragement in Scripture, maybe you're still like, I don't know how that actually love is supposed to look. Go to 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 and just read that little block. Pretty spelled out for you what love's supposed to look like. And then I encourage you just to reread Romans 12. Such a good passage, so much. You could probably speak messages endlessly on each of those topics, but not the time. I challenge you to do these three things this week and see if we can start to really love people. Let's pray. Father, you are good. We saw that, or we experienced that last weekend, God, as we got to celebrate what you did for us, Jesus, on that cross, and how you were resurrected, and just the depths of love that shows us. I thank you, God, that we can be reminded of that again. We got so much to work on, Father, and yet you've given us so much ability to do that. Thank you, Father, that you're willing to transform us, that you don't just leave us to be on our own, that you actually are willing to be part of that process with us. And I'm thankful for that. I pray just as we go out this week, God, that you would bring people into our lives, that we would notice people, maybe notice people we've never really noticed around us before, and that we would start the practice of showing them love. Pray, God, just as a church body, that we would do this in the community around us. That when people come through this door, or when they see us out in the streets, God, they see the same person. They see people that love them because they're loved by you. Thank you so much for who you are. We pray, God, that you just give us strength as we go out this week. I pray, God, that we would continue to try to work on these things in our life, that you would help us in that journey. And most of all, I just thank you, God, that you love us. In your name I pray. Amen.